B-Pod Studios.
Ready, set, go!
This is Checkpoint XP Daily, your daily dose of esports and video game discussion. A complete look at all things esports and gaming. A production of Beasley Esports XP. Here are your hosts, Nate Bender, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan.
Checkpoint reached.
Hey, welcome to Checkpoint XP Daily for Tuesday, April 23rd, 2019. Your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on the Talk of Las Vegas, 101.5 FM and 720 AM, as well as KJR 950 in Seattle, Washington. Coming up today on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get the latest in esports news from over at the Checkpoint News Desk with Sarah Skopic. Plus, we'll get a preview of the upcoming midseason invitational, as well as look back at last weekend's Overwatch and NPL action. Those discussions are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get a gaming news update.
Gaming news update with Sarah Skopic.
Ladies and gentlemen, we interrupt this program to bring you important news.
CheckpointXP.com.
While the dust is still settling following the release of the first trailer for Episode 9, an interviewer asked Lucasfilm boss Kathleen Kennedy if anything would ever be done with the Knights of the Old Republic era. She replied, quote, "You know, we talk about that all the time. Yes, we are developing something to look at. Right now, I have no idea where things might fall, but we have to be careful that there is a cadence to Star Wars that doesn't start to feel like too much."
Well, and I think they had actually kind of hit that point. They had hit that saturation point in the lead up to Solo.
Yeah,
I think that they absolutely did.
And the problem was that Solo came out in that May time slot. When they were having it like once a year in December, it kind of got into that theme of, okay, it's December, it's time for Star Wars time.
Right, yeah, exactly. So I do think that them taking their foot off the gas a little bit is probably pretty important. And I'm excited for that we might get some more supplementary material
Disney
for
Plus.
Knights of the Republic. I mean, that's just a great era of the Star Wars. And I mean, you know, BioWare did such a great job bringing that era of Star Wars to life. I would just love to spend more time with that. So
I would love like an XR Zoom series on Disney Plus.
Exactly. With Disney Plus coming out, like that's going to be the perfect place for it, because if you want more Star Wars, it's right there for you to consume, but you don't necessarily feel like they're trying to, you know, shove too much of it out too quickly.
That's a good point.
Recently, we talked about the first 10 games that would be on Sega's upcoming Mega Drive Mini. It included fan favorites like Sonic the Hedgehog, Shining Force, Echo, and Comic Zone. We've now got the next 10 titles, and they include hits like Earthworm Jim, Streets of Rage 2, Sonic 2, and Shinobi 3.
Yes!
Wow! Many more titles will be revealed between now and launch on September 19th.
All right.
See, told you, Norris.
All right.
All of the, you know, gnashing of teeth that was going on, the wailing and gnashing of teeth, that Streets of Rage was not included on the Genesis Mini. See? I told you. It's there.
All right. Earthworm Jim.
It's worth it now.
Earthworm Jim, yes.
Earthworm
please. There is one title. I need one title to make this totally complete.
Vector Man.
Yes.
Oh, God.
I need Vector Man. Make it happen.
China has announced new restrictions on what content will be allowed in games that release in the country. Included in these restrictions is a strict ban on blood and corpses. And no, changing the blood to green and calling it slime will no longer be acceptable. In addition, no game will be allowed to depict the country's imperial history, and games that include gambling will be strictly prohibited. China has an estimated $30 billion spent annually on video games.
So,
well, okay.
Only what? Hearthstone? Oh, wait, no, because that could be construed as gambling. Oh, what? There are no video games then in China.
No, games are going to have to undergo pretty heavy modification to be able to release in China.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that that's pretty detrimental to the entire industry.
It definitely is.
There's blood in League of Legends.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I understand that there's probably less titles that end up addressing the imperial aspects of China than necessarily the violence aspect, but I think that that was the one that raised the biggest red flag for me.
Yeah.
Because, like, wait a minute, what? You can't talk about history? Like, history's off limits? Whoa, okay, all right.
And Norris, to your point, League of Legends has undergone pretty heavy modification to be allowed in China. You realize that Karthus looks entirely different in China because he's a lich.
Yeah.
You can't show that in China.
Speaking of games releasing in China, Tencent has officially partnered up with Nintendo to bring the Switch to China.
Ooh.
This obviously opens a huge new market for Nintendo, but they'll have to be careful about what titles they try to release in the country.
Well,
cash.
Well, here's the thing, is that if...
this need money.
If there's going to be titles that don't run afoul of everything that the Chinese government previously outlined in our last story, it would be Nintendo content.
Yep, because you got Mario, you got Zelda, you got a bunch of stuff, man.
Yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, the Switch is one of the best-selling systems they've had in a long time without the benefit of the Chinese market. That's about to go through the roof.
Absolutely.
The Nintendo Switch has checked off another milestone in terms of sales. After moving another 220,000 units in the beginning of April, its lifetime sales now sit at around 33.15 million units sold.
Yeah.
That puts it ahead of the Nintendo 64, which sold 32.93 million units in its lifetime.
That is
insane!
And you know what? It's to a point now where there aren't many households I know of that don't have a Switch. There are people I know who don't
have
Switches.
Now you need multiple Switches.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, so we're what now? About 2 years removed from the launch of the Switch, and it's outsold. It's outsold the 64 lifetime.
Yeah.
That's impressive.
That's very impressive, especially for a console that can have such an effective second life as a handheld. I think that's a really bodes really well for the future of Nintendo.
And a system that was very experimental.
True.
Rumors had been floating that Halo Infinite would either be or include a Battle Royale game. Franchise leader Frank O'Connor said recently on an interview that while the multiplayer modes for Infinite were not yet finalized, Battle Royale would not be among them.
Oh, good. Thank you.
Good.
Now,
Halo's not the game that I feel like would do well with that.
No, I don't think Halo would do well with that. I think you just have to look to Call of Duty and Battlefield and the way that those Battle Royale modes were received. I mean, especially the Battlefield was not well received at all.
And yeah, I mean, he talked about it at a good length too and said, you know, listen, if that's something you really, really want, the Forge mode, you could probably already make your own Battle Royale mode in there.
Yeah,
like,
exactly.
It's not to say you can't have it, it's just it's not a multiplayer mode that we're working on.
Why add, you know, dev time or something like that?
Yeah, exactly. I don't think that it's necessarily, I don't think it's necessary at all.
While early reviews on Mortal Kombat 11 are mostly positive, one complaint has been surfacing that the unlockables feel very grindy. NetherRealm spoke out quickly, saying they're hearing the complaints and will be making adjustments server-side to alleviate the issue.
People are so ridiculous.
So, is it people being ridiculous and being whiny babies because they can't get the thing that they want immediately? Or is this a case of being over-grindy on NetherRealm's part?
The game came out like literally this week.
Yeah.
Literally. There are some items you probably shouldn't be able to get in a week. It's called replay value.
Well,
it's a thing, dude.
I think incentivizing items behind large tasks or repetitive tasks is a totally fair way to put a restricted item into a game. The people who sit there and demand it because it's cool and I want my character to be cool, they really have no dog in this fight. Like, they do the chores.
Just do the task.
Yeah, do the task until you get it. And
I don't want to play the game that I bought. Just give me the stuff.
That's like, kind of that's what it's. Or it sounds like I don't have a way to pay money to get around this.
Ah, it's those people,
and that makes me upset.
Mm. Okay, so do the thing.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I'm with you there, but. We've seen this again and again where you've got people coming out with their hands out going, but I want the cool thing too.
And that's all for the Checkpoint XP Gaming News Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. Time released their annual list of the top 100 most influential people last week, and this year's list had a very familiar name to anyone in the gaming scene. That's right! Ninja has made the list of Time's top 100 most influential
people. And good on him. I think it's completely deserved. absolutely, completely, and utterly deserved.
It's hard to argue with. You know, when you become a household name like Ninja has, when you appear on shows like Ellen, like the New Year's Eve celebration.
Special, yeah. That's
when you make appearances like that, when you're hawking Samsung products, when your face is being printed on Red Bull cans,
when the NFL comes to you.
Yeah, exactly.
It says, we want you to help us launch our Fortnite skins.
Well, I mean, at the end of the day, he had a year wherein he streamed with Drake and appeared in a Super Bowl commercial, and those were not the biggest things he did in the year.
Listen, I think that this is totally 110% deserved. I don't care if you like the dude or not. I don't care if you like his streaming or his channel or his hair.
Even,
you can find a million things to kind of complain about, you know, this guy. But none of them can really even touch the fact that he has taken his brand and his, you know, himself and risen above the, you know, what is considered the bar of mainstream penetration. It's impressive.
Even for those who dislike him, that's still a type of influence, and you cannot deny the fact that entire generations of children are running around now with different colored hair because of him.
And that's the main thing. The opposite of love is not hate, it's indifference.
Yep.
And as long as people feel something about Ninja, he will continue to be influential.
Yep.
So I think that is it's important. I think it's great that he's on this kind of list, because streaming is still this weird sort of mystical thing to an entire generation of people.
And
this is what makes it quote unquote legitimate.
It's sort of like your Peter Pan job for this generation, right? You know?
Exactly.
All right, well listen, we want to hear from you. Do you think that Ninja deserved to be put on Time's top 100 influential people list? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get caught up on what went down over the weekend in Overwatch League and the National PUBG League. Plus, we'll preview the mid-season Invitational. That conversation will wrap up today's Checkpoint XP Daily. But ahead next, we'll check in with Sarah over at the Checkpoint News Desk.
Hungry Bucks probably won't be eating seafood anytime soon.
Esports News is next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. This is Checkpoint XP, Esports and Gaming Radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. I want to thank everyone listening on 98.5, the Sports Hub of Boston, as well as the Team 980 in Washington, D.C. Still ahead on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll get caught up on what went down over the weekend in Overwatch League and the National PUBG League. Plus, we'll preview the mid-season Invitational for League of Legends. Those conversations are ahead here today on Checkpoint XP Daily. But first, let's check in with Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk and get an esports gaming update.
It was an up-and-down weekend for Hungrybox. On the bright side, he had a miraculous run through the loser's bracket at Pound 2019, which ultimately saw him defeat Mango in the grand finals. On the other hand, however, a fan in the audience threw a dead crab at him. The crab missed, but Hungrybox was visibly angry and shouted at the fan.
Yeah, he should be.
Tournament organizers at Pound said they would be permanently banning the attendee, and while they won't be releasing his name to the public, they will be informing other tournament organizers around the country so they can take similar action.
Let's just not make this a thing. Let's not make this an ongoing thing that just happens at tournaments.
Anything.
Throwing anything.
Don't throw things at people who are competing. That's not okay.
I completely agree. It's unacceptable. A crab?
I know.
That's the part that is really baffling.
Where do you get a crab?
Did you happen to have a crab on you? Crab purchase?
Did you find a crab? And if so, where? I'm concerned.
Yeah, was there someone at the event hawking crabs? What?
So now, here's the thing, is that Hungrybox had issued a statement about this on Twitter that I think is remarkably poignant and makes a really good point. And he says, you know, now that we've all had our laughs, I gotta say it, it was lucky that it was just a crab this time and not a rock or a brick or, God forbid, something worse. Do all tournament organizers please ensure professional security detectors at events? Not that there are security detectors for crabs. I'll gladly take a smaller payout if it means having this. And you know, as someone who has gone to a lot of esports events, and we just had this tragedy last year in Jacksonville, I you know, it's shocking to see something like this actually happen. I do think that it is incumbent on tournament organizers to do a better job of having at least some kind of security for these kind of mid and small size tournaments.
I agree. I'm still like in my mind just trying to figure out where he smuggled that crab in, but yes, thank goodness it wasn't something worse.
Gross, Joe.
Gen G, the company behind the team in the LCK, as well as the parent company of the Seoul Dynasty, has secured $46 million in funding.
Wow.
The chief investors are actor Will Smith, Clippers minority owner Dennis Wong, and Japanese soccer star Keisuke Honda.
Wow.
Big money.
Will Smith.
Big money, no whammy.
Name, yeah.
Will Smith drops money on esports. Where do you think he got the insight to invest? You think?
Or Willow. Actually, I think Willow is more likely to be in the esports than Jaden.
Part of it is he runs an organization with Keisuke Honda.
Yep.
And that's where I think the first probably came from.
Keisuke Honda is very well known in the soccer world, one of Japan's best players ever. And it makes sense why Keisuke would be involved in esports.
Especially as Japan is trying to expand more into esports. It actually makes a lot of sense.
How long until we get Will Smith showing up to an OWL game?
Come on,
that would be remarkably cool.
Yeah, it would.
PUBG Corp has reported their numbers for 2018, and it's good news for them. They had an opening revenue of $920 million, of which $462 million was net profit. The lion's share of those numbers come from the Asian markets, which account for 64% of operating revenue.
Maybe they should have paid some actors to show up to the first couple days of the Facing Global Summit.
Listen, based on the standings that the Facing Global Summit had at the very end, I do believe that, PUBG has really found a bigger market in, the
Korea, China,
Japan.
Yeah.
In these markets, and is doing very well, is making loads of money, and that's where I think the bulk of the talent is sitting too.
Probably where they should have made their arena then.
Maybe.
Yeah.
You know, we were talking about this on one of our daily shows, but it does seem like PUBG could have invested first in the Asian markets as a test market to see how it would work in other regions. But here we are. We've now had their first international competition. I think it went fairly well outside the first couple of days of having a very empty arena. We'll actually get a little bit deeper into that a little bit later on here on the show.
T1 is continuing their expansion in the world of esports, setting their sights on the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate scene. They've signed Anti to represent them in tournaments, and also brought in Larry Lur as both a player and a content creator.
This is cool. I'm excited to see T1 continue their expansion into some other games. Obviously, one of the best-known names in League of Legends for a long time. Now they've got the partnership with Comcast Spectacore. Cool to see them expanding into, you know, games that are going to help them over here in North America.
Absolutely.
Epic seems well aware that having such a large prize pool on the line for Fortnite World Cup will attract cheaters. In the first week of qualifiers, Epic has banned over 1,200 accounts for cheating in one way or another. Nearly 200 of those accounts were prize winners in the first week, and those prizes have been forfeit.
Wow. Listen, this is what we thought would happen with how Fortnite is currently set up.
It's an administrative nightmare.
It's a nightmare. You can't continue to have open servers, open qualifiers with this much money on the line and not expect people to cheat.
Warner Brothers Interactive Entertainment and NetherRealm Studios are launching a 9-tournament global Mortal Kombat 11 competition with a $255,000 prize pool. The 9 tournaments, boasting $155,000 in prizes, will serve as qualifiers. Along with some online qualifiers, the top 16 players will travel to Chicago to battle it out in final combat for the remaining $100,000. The first stop for the pro competition is at at Combo Breaker 2019 in May.
Here's the thing, is that this is a considerably higher prize pool total than most of the FGC. And I gotta know, Norris, do you think that this is going to have any kind of disruptive effect on the FGC? Because we don't see another round game that has really been, in the conversation, at least for 2 years.
Well, yeah, I think it'll be disruptive, but the thing is that with Warner Brothers and NetherRealm behind it, this is money that they're putting in. And the thing is, I'm not sure if other developers either have the overhead or the willingness to put their foot forward with this sort of investment. I think it has to be a third-party investment for a lot of the other games. Capcom Pro Tour pretty much was the blueprint. Mortal Kombat 11 is kind of building on that.
And that makes sense, but I mean, that total prize pool has got to be very attractive, and it's got to be, you know, if you're sitting there in a Tekken tournament for, you know, the possibility to win $8,000, like, that has got to look mighty attractive to you.
Well, yeah, and I'll just say this, though, is that playing a NetherRealm game is going to be a really, really hard transition coming from any other fighting game. Sonic Fox is the only person to really do it well.
Fair enough.
Investors are being warned not to continue buying into EA as Apex Legends continues to see numbers falling on Twitch. It's more bad news for EA, which has already had a difficult year following the disappointments of Battlefield and Anthem. Apex had possibly the best launch in gaming history, but the fan base has since left due to the lack of compelling new content.
It was probably a miracle that you got the launch you did, and if EA didn't help to then support them going forward, I don't know what you expected to happen.
It was 50-50 that this was going to happen. I'm not surprised.
That's all for the Checkpoint XP Esports Gaming Update. For more, head on over to our website, checkpointxp.com.
Thanks, Sarah, for the update. The first true home weekend in Overwatch League is going to be happening this weekend as the Dallas Fuel host the Ultimate Weekend. The event is already sold out, and tickets on the aftermarket are few and far between.
Yeah, this is going to be a big one for Dallas, especially the way that they've been performing and the way that Houston has. I think Dallas is finally going to walk away with their first Battle of the Lone Star State.
Now, this is going to be hugely exciting. I mean, you know, we're talking about an arena, a 4,500-seat arena
sold out two days.
Is going to be completely sold out. And, you know, I can't wait to see Overwatch put in that environment. It was hugely exciting in the grand finals last year at the Barclays Center, and I just can't wait to vibe off the energy of a crowd that big.
And this is the proper size. This is the proper scale to do it at. 5,000 max. That's what you want. I think that's the proper context in order to seat sort of this style of game and this sort of style of event. But I think this is much bigger than what Overwatch is doing.
Oh, absolutely. I think other esports should also be watching.
This will be bellwether for the industry moving
forward. This is the
canary
in the coal mine, yeah.
Yes, it is. And how this weekend goes, depending on whether it's good, bad, I'm going to say this. If a fight breaks out,
is that good or bad?
No, a small fight breaks out, that's a good thing.
Also, you know, we've been wondering, like, when it comes to these home and away games, besides just the game, how else are you getting people in the door? Will the cosplay contest play out? Will the musical guest that they have
play
out?
Yeah, they have an EDM artist coming in to
perform. So it's more than even just the matches themselves that are sort of a proving ground
here.
It's definitely going to be really interesting to watch. And I'm going to be curious because we've got a lot of listeners down in Texas. If you're going to be going, you know, I want some pictures from this event. I want you guys to tell us a little bit about the vibe there. Were people tailgating? You know, were people getting into it as if this was a traditional sport? Because I think that's the kind of stuff that you really want to see to know. Listen, esports has really taken root in kind of this, you know,
the culture of the
culture.
Town.
Yes, the culture of young Americans. And I think that's the real bellwether. That's the real canary in the coal mine, too. Does this stuff have a future? Listen, we want to hear from you. How excited are you for the very first home game for Overwatch League? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. Coming up next on Checkpoint XP Daily, we'll recap the weekend action in the FACEIT Global Summit for PUBG, as well as the Overwatch League, and take a look ahead to the midseason invitational for League of Legends. Stick around, that's coming up next here on Checkpoint XP Daily.
This is Checkpoint XP. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com. This is Checkpoint XP, esports and gaming radio. CheckpointXP.com.
Welcome back to Checkpoint XP Daily, your home for esports and gaming. My name's Nate Bender. So glad to have you along. I want to thank everyone listening on the sports beat of East Texas, 104.3 in Carthage, 103.9 in Marshall, and 100.7 in Henderson, as well as 1250 and 94.5 ESPN San Antonio. Check out our website over at CheckpointXP.com, and while you're there, make sure you sign up for the Checkpoint XP Nation newsletter. Get behind-the-scenes insight, photos, and access to contests and unique content. All it takes is an email address and a zip code. So sign up today at CheckpointXP.com. The midseason invitational for League of Legends is nearly upon us. The first International League of Legends tournament of the year is scheduled to kick off on May 1st, and we're going to preview the action. But first, it was a busy weekend in esports for both the Overwatch League in action as well as the Face It Global Summit for PUBG. Now, we've got a lot to break down because there was like 6 days worth of competition going on here.
Boy, was there.
But
in about 2 days, had anyone watching it?
Yeah. The first thing that I had to notice was during the group play stages, there was no audience. And we did look up whether there were ticket sales. There was ticket sales.
First of all, to the point that we went, maybe they didn't sell tickets.
Nope.
Because that was like, it was so empty.
It was no logical explanation.
Like, they must not have sold tickets. Oh, no, there's 4 day passes for tickets.
But when you think about it, because here's the thing, because I was sitting at home watching 6 days of PUBG, and by day three, I went, oh, I get why nobody was watching this, because it doesn't matter. All of it's going to be decided in the last 2 days.
Yeah.
And so I kind of understand why they might have trouble getting people to show up super early on in the group stages.
But why sell those tickets?
Exactly. It's got to be disheartening for those that are competing. That said, when we did get to the last 2 days of competition, and there was an audience that was in that arena, that audience was lit. And
they were.
It really changed the energy of the presentation.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, the fact that they could like call out to the audience for things was nice, because if they tried to do that on any of the first couple days, it would have been a very depressing response.
And the audience was cheering for stuff.
Signs and everything. It was like a WWE event.
Yes, exactly. And it looked like a crowd that I wanted to be a part of, but that was only when there was a crowd to speak of.
Right.
So let's talk about the action that went down. First, let's talk OP Gaming Ragers. They took first place.
Yes.
And boy, did they have a commanding lead of that leaderboard for the majority of the global.
I mean, but you talk about the Korean scene for PUBG and just how strong it is, aside from how entertaining it is as well.
Well, yeah, because
they play very aggressively.
They play super aggressively, super fast. You don't have as much of the creep game going on there. And you have the highlight worthy stuff that really ends up coming out of those Korean teams.
And you'd mentioned whether you're going to be interested to see how the Korean teams perform. Not only did they take first place, but OG and Entus took fourth place.
That's right.
So of the top four, two of them held by Korean slots, and then one North American team and one European team.
So let's talk about first the European team, Team Liquid, taking third place, taking home $45,000.
So we're hearing Team Liquid as a European team. I know they were founded in Europe, but we're used to them being a North American team.
And they've got one American player on their squad, too.
They do.
I was about to say, it's crazy to hear Team Liquid have success on the international stage.
Oh, that's not nice.
Ouch.
Not inaccurate, but it's not nice.
They did very, very well, and I think they did very well in the PEL.
They qualified. They must have.
Well, yeah, but I think that they were either first or second in the PEL.
Yeah.
But then you've got Shoot to Kill, who, man, They were the only North American representation. Tempo Storm and Cloud9 dropping almost to the bottom of the heat. It was a disappointing showing for Tempo Storm and Cloud9.
I think they were the last two positions that got prize money. They took 11th and 12th. Anyone below 12th didn't get prize money. So yeah, for our teams that were so dominant throughout the NPL, it's shocking to see them struggle that much.
It's going to be interesting to see when the NPL ends up coming back. You're listening to Checkpoint XP Esports and Gaming Radio. Want to thank everyone listening live in our Twitch channel over at twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. You can join us live every weekday, Monday through Friday, live at 5, twitch.tv/CheckpointXP. Let's turn our attention over to the Overwatch League.
That's right, and the San Francisco Shock, a team that I've been telling everybody to keep on watch on ever since day one,
continues.
Has broken the consecutive map win record. They have not dropped a
and they
map.
And they take that away from the Houston Outlaws.
Well, Robbie's Houston Outlaws.
Now known as the Houston Gold Rank, because that's how they've been playing.
Yeah, you're not wrong. But in just a shocking of a story, the NYXL, the mighty New York Excelsior, has fallen to the Atlanta Reign.
Really?
Yes.
This brings up so many questions, because then a few days later, the Atlanta Reign lose again to the Guangzhou Charge 3-1.
I mean, but to be fair, Dogman played the match of his life.
So why doesn't he play the match of his life every time?
Because it's not the match of your life if you play it every day. Come on, Robbie.
Beating Nixle ain't gonna matter if you go 1-6 the stage.
So does that make the Vancouver Titans the only undefeated team in OWL right now?
The only undefeated team. Vancouver fighting.
Man, I can't. I got to give you guys the credit. You said that the Runaways would come in and change the face of OWL as we know it. Boy, did they ever.
Yeah, and just to wrap it up, you have the Glads, the Shock, and the Spitfire, who are undefeated currently in Stage 2, but
we
to
some
everybody's
great
surprise,
stage playoffs coming up.
But to everybody's surprise, the Shanghai Dragons are 3-2, and if they maintain their form, they will make the stage playoffs.
Wow. What a reversal of fortune for the Shanghai Dragons.
Yeah. That'll be one of my favorite stories of the year.
All right, let's take and turn our attention over to League of Legends, because we've got the Midseason Invitational coming right ahead at us.
Yeah, it's scheduled to kick off on May 1st, so by virtue of winning the spring split in their respective regions, Invictus Gaming, SK Telecom T1, and G2 Esports have already qualified for the main event. Winning North America does not auto-qualify you. So.
No, we're not that good.
Nope. Team Liquid and Flash Wolves won their spring splits in their divisions. They'll be allowed to skip the first round of the play-in stages, however, they will still have to qualify for the main event. So we've got two groups that are vying to try to get into the main event. Group A consists of 1907 Fenerbahce, Fongvu Buffalo, Isaris Gaming, and Bombers. The winner is going to advance to round two. Group B is Mega, Vega Squadron, INTZ Esports, and Detonation Focus Me. Basically, the Group A winner is going to get to play against Team Liquid, and the Group B winner will play against Flash Wolves.
And the team, the Group A is significantly stronger than
Group A is
B.
being called the Group of Death. They have got three of the four strongest of those eight teams.
Yep.
Everyone's kind of looking at Bombers like, Oceania just can't ever catch a break.
I
don't know if I want to put my vote for Fibonacci or the Buffalo crew.
Well, Fongvu Buffalo performed pretty well at Worlds.
Fongvu Buffalo, and I mean, it's in Vietnam, so they'll be playing on home turf, at least in the first round. So there is that. That said, I do think that Fenerbahce is the best team of those four.
I'd agree.
So I think they probably have the best chance to make it out. That said, the reward is getting to play against Team Liquid, so we'll see how that goes. Meanwhile, in Group B, you have to play against Flash Wolves if you make it through there. Mm-hmm. Of those four remaining teams, the top three will advance to meet the other three at the main event, so only the bottom one gets booted out.
So what are your predictions?
As a longtime North America observer, I have just these horrid visions in my head of us losing to Fenerbahce and then losing in the second round to just get knocked out. That said, I do think Team Liquid will advance, and I think they'll advance along with probably Fenerbahce. And everyone keeps saying Vegas Squadron is going to be really good, but I thought Detonation Focus Me was really good last year.
Yeah,
so I'm predicting Detonation probably advances as well. Once we get to the main event, dude,
anyone's
G2
game?
Esports looks so
no,
good.
G2 looks as good as any European team.
SK is back.
Yeah,
Invictus is great.
Washed Griffin.
Yeah,
in Korea, like Griffin, the Ascendant Griffin, who was supposed to be the new kids on the block.
Yeah,
SK washed them in finals. So.
Yeah, all right.
We're gonna have to leave it right there, and we want to hear from you. What are you going to be watching? Are you going to be checking out the Midseason Invitational when it comes around on May 1st? Are you going to be plugging back in for the NPL as it comes back for its second split? Or are you getting ready for those Stage 2 playoffs? Connect with us on social media. That's Checkpoint XP on Facebook and Twitter, and Checkpoint_XP on Instagram. That's going to do it for Checkpoint XP Daily, the first internationally syndicated show on esports and gaming for radio. Visit our website, checkpointxp.com, for insight on esports and gaming, as well as our growing collection of podcasts and interviews. Make sure you tune in tomorrow when we'll ask our social media followers what game they've spent money on in microtransactions and just how much. And join us Monday through Friday live at 5 p.m. over at twitch.tv/checkpointxp. All music provided by Weird Atlas. Find more at WeirdAtlas.com. Checkpoint XP Daily is a production of Beasley Esports XP. I want to thank my crew, lead segment producing by Joe Sloan, producing and booking help from Christine Solis. Big thanks to Sarah Skopic over at the Checkpoint News Desk, and of course my co-hosts who pull double duty as producers for Checkpoint XP, Robbie Landis, Norris Howard, and Joe Sloan. My name's Abe Bender. Keep listening.
You've been listening to Checkpoint XP, a complete look at all things esports and gaming. Check out the latest esports and gaming news and opinions at CheckpointXP.com.